Okay, we now have a cargo damage claim. Yes, there are still cargo cases, even after Sky Reefer. This is page 25 of the materials. Hercules OEM Group versus Zim Integrated Shipping Services Limited. We had a shipment of 1,336 cartons of water meter machine parts on 22 shrink-wrapped pallets in a 40-foot container. And the question here is, how many packages were there? Section 4.5 of the Carriage of Goods by Sea Act says that the carrier's liability is limited to $500 per package. Is that $500 for the container? Is that $500 times 22 for the pallets, or $500 times 1,336 for the cartons? And the actual value of the cargo was less than 500 times 1,336. Well, the shipment had two bills of lading. The cargo owner shipped with an NVO who issued its bill of lading. The NVO then turned around and shipped with the ocean carrier, which had its bill of lading. The ocean carrier's bill of lading had a boilerplate clause which defined the pallets as packages. The NVOCC did not put such a boilerplate clause in their bill of lading. The cargo owner, of course, sued both the ship owner and the NVO, and the district court decided that the number of packages was different for each of those defendants. For the ocean carrier, the district court said, the parties have agreed that each pallet is a package, and we will defer to the parties' agreement here. How much agreement is there in a boilerplate clause in the fine print on the back of the bill of lading? You can decide for yourself whether you represent P&I clubs or subrogated insurers. But the court said, that's agreement. There are 22 packages when you sue Zim. But the NVO doesn't have this clause. So then we will apply the general rules for figuring out how many packages there are. The Mitsui Bin Laden approach on the Second Circuit has been widely adopted. This was the Southern District of New York case, so they really had to follow the Second Circuit anyway. So they looked at what was identified in the bill of lading that qualified as a package. Those were the cartons. So the NVO responsible for full damages, assuming they can prove liability, because that was the full damages were less than $500 per carton. Illustrates the increasing extent of courts to take the easy course and say, it's a boilerplate clause. That answers it. I don't have to actually figure out what the package is. One more cargo case, but not the kind. It's actually the kind we're seeing much more of in litigation because Sky Reefer doesn't affect it. This is the one where the carrier sues the shipper rather than the shipper suing the carrier. This is the MSC Flamina, which has been keeping lawyers busy for years and continuing to keep lawyers busy. Page 28 of the materials, and I call it to your attention just to illustrate the difference between an action under Section 4.6 of COGSA and one that implicates Section 4.3 of COGSA. Section 4.6 is the provision that says that shippers are responsible for shipping dangerous goods, and it's slightly different. Gives the carriers certain rights on dangerous goods shipments, and those rights vary according to whether or not the carrier consented to the carriage of the dangerous goods with knowledge of their dangerous character. And the Second Circuit, an opinion by Judge Sotomayor, as she then was, says this is a dichotomous choice. You don't have to know every detail. This is not a med-mal, fully informed consent type thing. If the carrier knew it was a dangerous good, then they've consented. And if they, if nobody knew they were dangerous goods, then the shipper's liable without regard for negligence. So 4.6 gives the carrier a no-fault, strict liability claim against the shipper. And those tend to be much harder to succeed on. And in this case, the carrier didn't succeed. The carrier knew it was shipping a dangerous good. It didn't know that it had been stored in the heat in New Orleans in the summer for decades before actually going on the ship and was about to explode. But they knew it was dangerous. No strict liability. 4.3 doesn't actually impose liability on the shipper. 4.3 actually says the shipper isn't liable without fault, but by negative implication, the shipper is liable under general maritime law principles if the shipper was at fault. Well, in this case, the court said no strict liability, but negligent failure to warn, you're liable, general maritime law principles. 4.3 is what we look to here, and you still have fault liability even if the no-fault rules don't apply.